Today, we are continuing with our church, our team on servant leadership. Okay, our team for this year is on servant leadership, and we are midway through the series on 1 Timothy and Titus. And today, we are going to consider truth in the world. Truth in the world. Is that a true statement? Is there truth in the world? We live in a world saturated with misinformation. A lot of information, but a lot of it is also misinformation. We live in a world with a lot of fake news. We live in a world with a lot of social media filters. The beautiful ladies you see on TikTok may not be that beautiful. You want to look good? You go on TikTok, you put a filter there, you will look better. All your wrinkles gone, you have rosy cheeks, you know. Your white hair will become black or whatever color. You have lipstick on, applied automatically for you. That is filter. We live in a world of half-truths, and we live in a world of scams. Are you in this world, or am I from a different world? This is the world that we are living in. A lot of untruth. Often it leaves us wondering, what is the truth? What is the truth? People are often divided by opinions rather than united by truth. Issues can be very diverse. Politics, health, remedies, investment choices, trend of COE prices, and even theology. Anything under the sun, there will be different opinions. True or not? True, right? If you are in the market to buy a new car, for example, record high COE, 100 over 1,000 for Cat A. This is before the car. This is just for that piece of paper called the Certificate of Entitlement, right? Cat B, 120 something thousand. Next month, will it go down or go up? Some people say it will go up. Some people say it has hit such a high price, it will only come down. Right? So, all of us have our own opinions. Which is the truth? Next month, we will know. Right? Next month, we will know. When time comes, it will reveal the truth. Theology is the same. There's Calvinism, Arminianism, and all the other nism, right? Everyone have our own opinions. Which one is true? In such a culture, the church is called to shine with the truth. This is the culture that we are living in. And we are called to shine with the truth. As I was preparing this sermon, I was saying, wow, this one, a big problem. This kind of culture, this kind of world, we are to shine with the truth. Everybody thinks that they have the truth. Why must I listen to you? So how? I'm proposing this, that we do not do so by arguing harder. We do not bear the truth by shouting louder. How are we going to shine with the truth? By quietly living lives that display the truth of the gospel consistently. That is how the church is called to shine with the gospel. Titus chapter 3 reminds us that the gospel truth is not an abstract idea. It is embodied in how we treat others. If you listen intensely just now to the video where Pastor Isaac tried to explain the Ten Commandments, it is all about relationship. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others and then our relationship with ourselves. In that order. If you mix it up, then your life is disordered. It is embodied in how we treat others, how we handle conflicts, and how we show grace in our everyday life. Remember COVID-19? Singapore as a nation struggled with misinformation. There will be rumors every day about the number of COVID cases. Remember? No? There will be rumors about different cures for COVID or even different masks, which mask is better, which one should we wear, and so on. And it's circulated on WhatsApp. And then there are rumors about essentials running out of stock, especially toilet paper. Remember those days? I do not use toilet paper. I use the bidet. But I still bought toilet paper. That is how powerful misinformation and rumors are. Everybody is buying the paper. I must also buy one. There was so much misinformation that our government had to launch the government.sg WhatsApp. I look for my history, you know, on WhatsApp. Government.sg. Okay? And then I scroll up. It was launched in February 2020. Very soon after when COVID started. And what was the purpose? The purpose was to correct falsehood. That means to say, this is the official number every day. You know, every day they will update you with the numbers, they will update you with information, they will tell you when the masks are running out, they will tell you when toilet paper running out, if it ever runs out. Lah, huh? Or they tell you that there are new stock coming, don't have to panic, right? That was how our government dealt with falsehood. In the same way, the church is called by God to be His truth broadcast. In this world of misinformation, we are called to be the truth broadcast in a world that is filled with noise and fake news, so that others will not be deceived. I got this picture from the internet. I found it very interesting because fact and fake is just one flip away. Do not be deceived. We need discernment. So the first point, how are we to bear the truth in this world is by remembering who you were. Verse 3 says this, at one time you too, or we too, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Hopefully, this is true of us, that at one time we are like that, and we are no longer like that. At one time, we too were foolish and disobedient. Apostle Paul reminds Titus to remind the believers at Crete, you too were once deceived. Today we need also to be reminded that at one time, before we became a Christian, before we came to Christ, before we heard the gospel, before we believed that Jesus died for our sins and believe in Jesus alone, we were also like that. You and I were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. In short, we are no better than them. We are no better than the unbeliever. We are all the same. When you look around, I know 7 months just started because I have a sensitive nose, right? How does it make you feel? How does 7 months make you feel? Scared. Good. That's a very frank answer from Sean. Others, how does it make you feel? Sad. Not just scared, but sad. Right? Sad because they do not know the truth. Scared because you believe that there are spirits and ghosts. Right? But what is the truth? Greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. The one that is in us is the Holy Spirit. So the other evil spirits can't come and disturb us because we have the Holy Spirit. Greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. At one time, some 30 over years ago, I too was like that. At one time, I was like that. Friends, if we are not careful, we will have this complex that is in us. Not the inferiority complex, but the superiority complex. Be reminded that we too were once proud, self-centered, chasing success. When I was young, I was like that. At one time, I was like that. In Singapore, how will it look like? We define ourselves by grades, by positions, by our retirement fund. And we look down on those who are less capable or struggling, if we are not careful. We live for convenience and comfort. That's the danger of social economic success. Examine ourselves today. Am I like that? Look deeper into yourselves. And all this pride is not just on the outward. It can be spiritual pride too, if we are not careful. When we have received blessings from God, what does that make you? What do we become? Does it make you humble or does it make you prideful? When you know God, when you possess God's truth, do you have a superiority complex? Do we have a holier-than-thou mentality? We must have humility. Christians should not look down on others with pride, but we should look at them with compassion. Humility is the first mark of a truth-bearing Christian. When you are blessed, when we are blessed, we must have humility. We do not approach the world with condemnation, but with compassion. A Christian I knew once confessed this to me. Pastor, I used to share with others proudly the biblical truth that only Christians go to heaven and all others are going to hell. Is that a theological truth? That's a theological truth, right? Thank God he didn't stop there. And he went on to say, then I remembered I was just like them once. And Jesus didn't curse me. Jesus had compassion on me and saved me. When we have received God's blessing, we must have compassion and not be prideful. Have we forgotten who we were? At one time, we too were foolish. remember who you were, and remember what God did. Verse 4 in Titus 3 continues, but, I like this word, but, this short little word, but. Because it is a plot twist. You were like that, but. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that is a purpose statement, so that, why did God do all this? So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, and deceived, and so on and so forth. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, things changed. We all know that we live in Singapore, it runs on merit. PSLE, O-level results, university results, scholarships, all run on merit, right? When we begin to work, promotions, when we deliver results at school, at work, all this is by merit. But friends, be reminded that in the kingdom of God, it is not run by merit. It is run by mercy. The kingdom of God is run by mercy. God says that you don't qualify by your grades. If it is based on works, all of us would have failed. Agree? All of us won't make it. But instead, God accepted us by mercy and grace. The gospel truth is this. We did not save ourselves. In our culture of merit, it tells us to earn our place. But God's truth is radically different. We don't have to earn our place. We are welcomed. He saved us not by works. He renewed us by the Holy Spirit. And He made us heirs of eternal life. What have we contributed to this process? Zero. He saved us not by works. He renewed us by the Holy Spirit, and He made us heirs of eternal life. This truth ought to set us free from performance-based living. We no longer need to pretend. We no longer need to compare and compete. We no longer need to prove ourselves. If you understand this truth of God's mercy and God's grace and His love for you, this truth will set you free from performance-based faith. And the gospel is the ultimate truth. God saved us not by works, but by His mercy. This is the gospel truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you have this sense of freedom? Or do you still feel that you are bounded by something? I must still perform. I must be good. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. But your goodness and your good works will not earn your salvation. God will not love you more. He already loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. He does not love you more when you do good. That is performance-based. Your day doesn't get better when you do quiet time in the morning. Or you pray in the morning. Understand? You know, some people very cute. Huh? Pastor, today my day was very lousy. Maybe because this morning I skipped quiet time. I'm not saying that quiet time is no good. I'm saying that you ought to. But what I'm trying to say is this. With God, it is not performance-based. God doesn't love you more because you are good. God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you while you are still a sinner. All this thinking could be because we are affected by our culture, by falsehood. Understand? And then we bring it into our faith and we think that, oh, I must perform so that God will love me more. When God loves me more, I will not suffer. And because I do not want to suffer, then I must do this, this, this. The economy of God's kingdom is mercy, not merit. Truth is not just a set of facts. It is not a formula. Gospel truth is found in one person. Jesus said it himself. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the truth. Truth is found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And no one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus redeems, Jesus renews, and Jesus restores you. Truth can be likened to a mirror. Look at the picture above there. Half the mirror is dirty, half the mirror is clean, right? So imagine a dirty mirror. You can't see clearly. No matter how hard you try, the reflection is distorted or blurred. Salvation is God replacing that mirror with a clear one. And you begin to see life and yourself correctly. Question for ourselves, when we ask ourselves, is this. When was the last time you allow God's truth to examine you? In the video of the Ten Commandments just now, when Pastor Isaac was sharing about what makes the Ten Commandments the Ten Commandments. It is not because we decide, you know, that fire won't burn and then we make it into a law and then we walk out and put our hands in the fire and then we soon realize that hey, it still burns. Because that is not the truth. That is not from God. Only God determines the truth. He is the only bearer of truth. So when we believe that the word of God is truth, we must allow God's truth to examine us. Not we writing or reading into the word of God. Not our interpretation of what we think is the truth. When we read the word of God, we must allow the word of God to examine us. Remember who you were. Remember what God did to save you and live the way you believe. Live what you believe. Titus 3, 1 to 2 and verse 8 says this. Remind the people. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. So that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Remind the people to be subject, to surrender, to submit, and to slander no one, be peaceable, considerate, always to be gentle. The truth is not just spoken. The truth must be lived out. In a world that shouts and mocks Christians, Christians are called to be peaceable, humble, and devoted to good works. That is how different we are to be. In Singapore, we often find people who are rushing here and there. I said this joke until chow seng already. Or stale, for those who don't understand Hokkien. I sometimes wonder whether we are Singaporeans or Russians because we are rushing here and there. We are rushing here and there. We are so stressed. We are so impatient. You look at the way people walk in the MRT, you know, at peak hour. You look at the way the drivers drive during peak hour. Everybody is so unkind. You know, we are hated. We hate one another. You realize that, especially drivers. Your fellow drivers don't like you, you know. And we also don't like them, right? And we not only don't like the fellow drivers, we also don't like bicycles on the road. Why? We pay road tax, ma. They never pay, ma. Especially if they are cycling in groups of 10, you know. Right? Got some pride there or not? Got lah, huh? If we examine ourselves truthfully, there's some pride there. Why? Their life cheaper than yours? There's some pride there, right? Christians must live differently. On the MRT, show some courtesy. Let the person go first. It's all right. Huh? When you're queuing to go into JB, especially those drivers, let one car go in, won't die. At most 5 minutes. You just delayed by 5 minutes. But because of pride, sometimes accidents happen, you know. Everybody start inching, you know. And then so ungracious, right? I feel very stressed, you know, whenever I drive like that. At the hawker center, thank the cleaner. Yes, he or she may be of a lower SES, but it is all right. Thank them. In the office, be gentle even when under pressure. Because sometimes when we are pressurized, we become very harsh, right? The tone of voice that we use, you know, the commands that we shout or we demand. Online, how should a Christian behave? Show restraint before posting harsh comments. It is all right. Keep it to yourself. Don't have to put it there. You don't have to put it out there. We must speak the truth with love. Especially true of our relationship with our close ones, our own house, right? Outside, we are very courteous, no? Pastors are the same, okay? We are very courteous at outside, but at home, we become ourselves. Right? Be kinder to one another. John Stott, the theologian, once said, our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth. And our truth grows hard if it is not softened by love. Next slide, I believe there's a quote. Yeah, our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth. And our truth grows hard if it is not softened by love. It is important that we speak the truth with love. Don't just speak the truth without love. Or don't just speak with love without truth. Both are needed. Truth and love. Example. Others may not agree with what we believe or what we value, or our values are different. They may not agree with what you believe, but they will notice when you are consistent, when you are humble, and you are kind. Truth doesn't have to win by being aggressive. Truth wins by being consistent. How do you know something is true? How do you know COE prices, you know, your prediction will come true or not? Wait for next month, no? Time will tell. If you are consistent enough, it will tell. How do you know how someone is or who that person really is? If you live with that person long enough, you will know how the person is. Gospel truth should change how we treat others especially those who do not agree with us. Question I ask myself is this: must it always be my way or the highway? What if my truth is just my truth and not the truth? What if years later I change my belief in a certain matter? I guess that is why we must avoid useless arguments, which is the fourth point. Titus 3, verse 9 to 11 says, "But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless." What? The law is unprofitable and useless? No, no, no. The law is useful, but the arguments and quarrels are not useful and profitable. Warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. Unfriend them. Cancel them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. Do you know of such people? In Hokkien, or you know, we call siu pa kue, or fighting cockroaches. You know, the chicken. The you know, they everywhere they go, they look for fights. Everywhere they go, they have to prove that they are one up. They are smarter than you. They will argue to prove their point. Do you know of someone like that? Please don't introduce that person to me. There's a kind of truth-telling that becomes very toxic when Christians major on minor issues or divide over opinions instead of looking to unite on major issues. In theology, hopefully through the Catechism, through the Lord's Prayer, through the Apostles' Creed and stuff like that, right, that we are taking you guys through, you know what are the major issues. And we can unite on these major issues. I have been to churches that are divided on Bible version, you know. Everybody must use King James Version, because King James Version is the version. Is that a major or a minor issue? To me now, it is a minor issue. But to them, it is a major issue. We must. That's the truth. That's the truth. No, that's the version that we all must use, because it is very important. That is the best version. That's the truth. And if we don't fight for the truth, then what will happen? Then all will be misinformation. So to them, that is important. I'm just using that as an example, okay? There are so many issues. Can have drum, cannot have drum. I'm glad that we are past that season. You know, but when I was growing up as a teenager, this was the quarrel of the church, you know. Can have drum, cannot have drum. Those older ones are smiling. I do not know what the younger ones are fighting over now, you know. Can friend LGBTQ, cannot friend LGBTQ. Or maybe those are some of your struggles and issues. Don't have to be divided over all these minor issues and opinions. We must unite on major issues, because that kind of truth-telling becomes very, very toxic. And that's why I love that song, One Voice. Let us be one voice that glorifies God's name. What is that one voice? On the major issues, the truth. We love one another with one voice. And then with things that are non-essential, I oftentimes quote Augustine, right? In essentials, we unite. Non-essentials, we practice liberty. And then in everything, we practice love. These kind of attitudes discredit the gospel. Because of that Bible version, they ended up in court, you know, to fight for a piece of land that is owned by the church. Friends, I'm not making this up. If you know, you know. When unbelievers read this kind of news, it discredits the gospel. I thought God is love. I thought the church must love one another. But your brothers and sisters fighting in court before an unbelieving judge who passed her judgment. Our calling is not to win arguments. Our calling is to win souls for Christ. Agree? So it is all right. We don't have to aim to win every argument. It is all right to lose the argument, to be humble, as long as I win your soul. And that is the attitude of Paul. Aim to win hearts. Aim to win souls. We don't have to win every argument. Be careful of spiritual pride. A pastor was once asked to debate someone on social media, on Facebook. And his reply was this: it is better we meet for kopi than fight on Facebook. Because on Facebook, it's very easy to be a keyboard warrior. Right? And some people, they don't use their own name, you know. They create another account or a few other accounts, you know, to go and post. As if more people say the thing, that becomes the truth. And you know how toxic that can become. I think we all know and we have seen that on social media. It is better to come out for coffee face to face, build relationship, than to debate and win the argument. You think you win the argument, you prove your point, that person will believe that that is the truth and become a Christian and say hallelujah and come and worship together with you in QBC? So far, I haven't heard of a case like that, where an argument on Facebook or social media, and then you know you win the argument, the fella say you make sense and I come and worship with you in your church. No. Build relationship. Go out for coffee. Clarify face to face. Friends, we need to avoid useless arguments. If we are not careful, we can become distracted and get caught up. We get caught up in online arguments over politics, policies, religion. We have endless debates about church methods or worship styles. We quarrel about minor doctrinal points. In a deceptive world, instead of being deceived, God calls his people to live truthfully. Live your life truthfully, consistently, by first, remember your humble past. Secondly, celebrate God's mercy, not your merit. Thirdly, live out your truth in daily life. And lastly, avoid pointless quarrels, but focus on Christ. QBC can be a powerful witness, not by being the loudest voice, but by being the most consistent example of truth, live out with grace. Let the truth of the gospel shape how we talk, how we serve, and how we love. Be the kind of person whose life points others not to your opinions, but point others to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us. I have prepared two reflection questions for us to reflect. We will spend a few minutes. asking ourselves. Don't ask your neighbor, ask yourself. Where in your life do you need to live out truth more courageously? And secondly, how would you live out the truth of the gospel? I give us a few minutes to reflect. And then we will close in prayer and respond with the response song. Father, in our fast-paced and competitive culture, help us not to be deceived by the lies of performance and pride. Teach us to live truthfully and gently. So that our neighbors, our colleagues, our family may see Christ lived out in us. Lord, it is so difficult, but it is not impossible with your help. So Lord, help us to shine as salt and light in our homes, in the marketplace, in our neighborhood, for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray.